Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May the 30th. Joining us this morning out of the 2nd District, not running for office this time around,
Estelle Fennell. And happy not to be.
Yeah, and laughing about it? Is that what I heard?
No, I am.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Happy not to be.
I would imagine this time of the year is when or this time of the four-year cycle, it's like kind of nice.
It is. And I was just talking with somebody about that the other day because in Sacramento, there were a couple of legislators there as well as supervisors who had been legislators and now were back to being supervisors. And this one guy told me, you know, he actually preferred being a supervisor because he could do more work. And, you know, every 2 years as an assemblyman, you got to go out and get reelected. The same for a congressman, actually. So how much work you can do in that time, I don't know. You know, you're always running for reelection. So it's great to have 4 years.
It would be interesting to actually have a congressional race where the candidates actually had to campaign.
Well, that would be... Instead, it does happen in other places.
That's why, I understand, but, you know, DeFazio up so north is seated. Whoever the Dem is at the time is seated into our area. So you don't get in here. You don't get to see. You don't get to know some of the things that are going on.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I understand. But on the other side, it's kind of like we lose something. It's like Maggie and Billy running unopposed.
Yeah.
Not that outcome isn't great for the community.
Yeah.
But you don't go through the process of hearing, you know, what are your plans now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us had the opportunity to ask them directly, which is, you know, fortunate few. But for the general community, a chance to be able to say, so what are you thinking about? And how would you change? And what does this mean? And what does that mean? You just kind of... miss the robustness of that opportunity.
Yeah, especially, you know, in a four-year term, that gives you 8 years from when you checked in with the community. Aside from saying what your plans are, it's also that opportunity that happens when you're campaigning to go door to door, to talk to people, to have meetings with people, and just not on any one particular issue, but just on, you know, how people think the county should be going and all those things.
Well, and the rubber chicken circuit also takes a tremendous beating. You know, that shows chicken farmers don't get the opportunity.
That's true. That's the one part of all of this that, you know.
You miss?
No.
Right, okay. So is there a workload shift during the election cycle? Ryan is doing what Ryan's doing. Mm-hmm. Virginia's doing what Virginia's doing. Does the workload kind of shift to the other three a little bit more, or does it take a little bit longer to do stuff? Is it quicker? Is it more efficient because they don't have as much time? How does that, the workings at the supervisor level?
I think generally speaking, you can keep doing your job at the supervisor level. But I'll tell you where the work shift happens is on the individual. It's all the extra work you have to do to campaign and do your job. So as far as working with your colleagues, when we go into an election year, you know, every year we assign people to various committees, we'll peel back a few of the commitments of people who will be campaigning so that they'll have a little bit more time. And so, myself and Rex and Supervisor Wilson take on a little bit more at that point.
Now, my question is, if these additionals that candidate A or incumbent A would normally have, you step up and you serve on that committee, or that committee just doesn't need to have a supervisor or a second as a backup, is that a model that could be then incorporated all years by all supervisors? And you just have less appointments so that you can get more stuff done or maybe talk to more people, or the stuff you do, you've got more time to reflect and to do research about.
Well, I don't know, Brian. I think the main thing I would say is let's not add some more to it. We have enough. But there are certain bodies that really do need as a representative of the county on them, such as Humboldt Transit Authority, Humboldt County Association of Governments, all
of the things. So let's say HCOG and there's only you.
Yeah.
Okay, and you are out of town.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, we have a supervisor and an alternate.
That's
we always
gonna,
have that.
Do you need to have somebody there for that meeting?
Oh, we do.
Or do you just have the one, and if you're out of town, you're out of town, and you know there's one less person voting, but you still get the information, and
yeah.
you still can submit mm-hmm. and talk and do all that stuff, but you're just not there for the votes.
Mm-hmm.
Does the world come to an end?
Not necessarily, although it depends on what's being voted on. You kind of want to watch the ship there, but yeah.
Or maybe some have alternates and others
yes,
don't.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we have mainly. We have members and alternates. Sometimes we have two members and an alternate or, you know, whatever. But generally we're covered. Do we have to be... for most, there are some committees that are higher profile than others, you know, some that are kind of just the sausage making part of doing business, and those you can kind of miss, you know. We've had some, myself and Virginia are on one in particular, and there have been several instances where neither one of us could make it, and it's okay. But if it were that an important action item weren't before us, we would have to make something change.
Well, either a proxy or you can vote.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be what, Facebook vote? No, it would be Skyping vote. You know, I mean, if it's really,
yeah,
really,
actually, that's another thing you can do. In fact, I've done that with a couple of meetings. Is you can actually do it by phone, and you post that that's where you are.
Can you proxy?
Do you
oh boy, did that get a fun reaction? KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. A little bit of discussion over the last little bit, and I'm sure there's going to be some down the road a ways also, about commissioners, you know, with Kevin McKinney resigning from the Planning Commission, mm-hmm. with the Planning Commission being kind of in the spotlight over the past years, decades, with the general plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gazillion different commissions, committees that are there that the county uses for sundry purposes.
Mm-hmm.
When you're thinking about someone to be a commissioner, what do you think about? Is it somebody who has passion, background, who's, you know, okay, fine, yeah, here's something for you to do? I would think that maybe a combination of all of mm-hmm. them, but what do you look for a commissioner for a commission? Not a specific one, but broad strokes.
Well, broad strokes, what I look for is somebody who has got a minimum of some experience in the item that they're being a commissioner over, whether it's human rights, planning commission, whatever.
Okay, let's say it's a county parks commission,
yeah,
advisory board or whatever.
Well,
somebody who's gone to the park?
Well,
or
actually,
somebody
I
who's a naturalist or a botanist?
Mm-hmm.
Or
well, say, for instance, we just... we're just next week I'll be announcing who my appointments are for a newly created district in Fortuna, which is a Rohnert Park recreation district. They're really going to look towards building a pool in Fortuna and a swimming pool. Who are you looking for there? You're looking for people you know will step up to the plate, will do the kind of work, which is fundraising, getting the community involved. And so you pick the kind of people who can do that. You don't
it's
want
almost
to,
personality.
It is definitely in something like that. Like it's that was a good example of where you're not talking about a particular profession, but just an ability, a temperament, somebody who you know loves their community, somebody who's done a lot for their community. You don't want to overburden the A types, but unfortunately, they do tend to be overburdened.
Or the staff.
Because they're the go-to people.
Yeah.
They
what,
are the go-to people.
What about retired
people.
Versus currently
retired
engaged.
Is always good. Retired is good for things like some of those
because
things like the park. More time. They have more time in their hands. Although
spoken like a department head.
Well, guess what? I know for absolutely sure that A-types who retire wind up being busier when they retire.
Oh, no question.
It is
no question
because
about.
Everybody recognizes that you are the, a person who can get things done. You have that kind of drive, and now everybody wants a piece of you.
Don't forget.
And they don't want to pay you either.
Easily bored.
Easily
you know, if you're not engaged.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's, and I'll use Eureka as a reference for this one. I always felt sorry for Tyson and Cindy and mm-hmm. Marie and the troops when the electeds were retired.
Oh.
Because they had nothing else to mm-hmm. do, and it's a part-time job. But, boy, they could turn it into a full-time, and often that means getting in front of staff.
Yep.
Okay, well, staff's got their job to do. Not, but they can't hack off the boss's boss.
Yeah.
So it really gets into that weird dynamic. You mm-hmm. know, the county doesn't have that because everybody is fully employed.
Yeah.
But there could be that potential down the road if things change. You got these commissions, and let's say now the planning commission retired person decides they want to spend time in the planning department. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I hack them off, will they then go to my boss, his bosses, and say, so-and-so isn't a team player, and now it becomes a career-endangering move?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I suck it up and lose a day worth of work to do whatever is necessary?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be put in.
Yeah, and it depends, like you pointed out a little earlier, personality is really a key aspect of that. Some people are going to abuse it, some people are not, and on and on and on.
How about the creation of a commission?
You mentioned, we just did one.
You mentioned the special mm-hmm. district. Okay, that, mm-hmm. that's kind of
and then we created
a unique critter.
The home, the Housing Trust and Homelessness Solution Commission was just created, and we have made our appointments to that, and they're going to take on the task of getting input from the community and looking at how to address some of those concerns. Now, we've put people representing those who have done development, Health and Human Services. We have somebody who's represented the homeless or the recently homeless, and people who've been involved with things like the housing groups.
Do you have a hand grenade lobber on there too?
Do I have what?
A hand grenade lobber. Somebody that, you know, you can say pudding stirrer if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Just somebody that says, hey, wait a minute, time out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've, but what about?
Yeah.
Okay, just a...
Yeah.
Again, you don't
we'll
want me advising
they,
those appointments
no,
either
no,
for
no,
you.
No. well, I was just talking about this yesterday. Not yesterday, a few days ago, regarding another potential commission, which actually is kind of rolling back. But it's you have to be really careful about not having too many of them. Because
that's right. I was going to ask, you know, a lot of us on the outside, you know, we don't know what's mm-hmm. a requirement.
Yeah.
Okay, and advisory versus, you know, some of the other functional definitions
yeah.
of some of these. But an economic development commission,
mm-hmm.
one that really is tasked with how do we get a stable, legal, viable, I'll use the word, wink, wink, growing
mm-hmm.
economic base for our area.
Yep.
And put them in charge of attracting businesses mm-hmm. here, of making the climate positive, of doing the advocate
mm-hmm.
for some of these. It cuts across all of the different departments
yep.
to make things happen.
Yeah.
And apparently we'll talk about that when we come back.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and REDEC. Before the break, I was kind of postulating the concept, Estelle, of an economic development commission.
Yes.
One that would be looking for opportunities. Now, mm-hmm. I know you got REDEC, but that's of the electeds. Okay. What we're talking about here, or at least what I'm talking about here that you're suffering through, is the folks that know how to grow economies,
yes,
businesses, mm-hmm. employment,
mm-hmm.
not, I'd say, below viable incomes
mm-hmm.
types of things, whether to attract businesses to the area or what are the reasons why people aren't coming here. Okay. And to do something with that. I know you guys have streamlined a lot of stuff, so mm-hmm. if somebody's already here, they can get something done.
Yeah.
But getting someone to relocate here, I know there's an awful lot of businesses and people leaving the state. Okay? I don't suggest we're going to be able to get people to come in from the state, but to get people from, let's say, the Bay Area
mm-hmm.
to relocate up here.
Yeah.
Okay? Why not?
Yeah.
And go out and talk and do and really find out. And then once that information is developed, then we come to the beating heads part of the program. And try to get things addressed.
Yeah.
As an example, so let's say you're crazy enough and you go, hey, Pabstein's got a viable idea here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what? What happens at that point? How does a commission occur? How do you put something together? How do you task it with goals? How do you do this?
Well, first of all, you meet, which, you know, in the case of the Board of Supervisors, would be at a regular meeting. You have an item that you're there to discuss. You identify the need, and then you look at how you can approach it and what avenues you can take. If you identify that a commission might do it, you create the commission. You identify. You usually would probably create an ad hoc committee that would discuss, hey, who should be in this? You know, what should it be made up of?
It's like a transition.
Yeah, and then you just create it. And, you know, if I know that this is an issue that's really important to you, Brian, and I it's really important to me, too, I got to tell you. And I like your idea, the idea that we focus a little bit more. I mean, we have economic development, we have Headwaters Fund, we have REDEC, all of that, but there's this, can we bring the business community into the room, you know, people who are actually very, very busy, but know what it takes to get something going and know what is required to bring somebody here, because that's the other thing. How do you make yourself attractive? We have issues with places like St. Joseph's or the colleges or anybody else where they're looking to how do they make Humboldt County attractive for middle-income people to come here and do professional jobs, you know. So I think we can make ourselves attractive. We definitely go out there and, you know, blow our horn quite frequently. We're cutting edge this, we're cutting edge that. We're doing wind power now, which I think is going to bring in quite a bit of revenue to the county and just jobs for people. That's pretty exciting. We just signed off, and we didn't sign off on, but there's a group that's putting together a wind farm, and they've already gone through the initial phases of application, and they're going to go through the county, and it will be located in the Scotia, down in that area there, you know. So that'll be kind of exciting to.
I believe you referenced that as the heart of God's country earlier. Yeah. Or God's district. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, I know. But literally, there are some exciting
cool stuff
things.
Going on.
So
yeah.
If that gets attention, if that gets more input from outside, I think our quote unquote attractiveness as an area to locate will only grow. You know, we won't just be seen as a little corner of people behind the quote-unquote redwood curtain.
Or the parkland of the state.
Yeah.
You know, and that's neat that we're there, but you still need
to... We have to survive.
Make things happen, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of being willing to accept whatever comes our way.
And the tourism is really a big deal. I know we've talked about that a bunch, and you've done a lot in terms of that over the radio, et cetera. You're very supportive of it, and I think that's a huge part also of our economy that we shouldn't ignore. We should work on it more and more and more.
Not to ignore one, but to try to bolster some
yes,
of the others.
Exactly.
Light manufacturing would be nice to have around here.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some.
Yeah.
But we don't have what we could.
We've got some pretty amazing manufacturers.
Not with having
here.
A port like we do.
Yeah.
And not being used. I mean, it seems like there are resources that we have at our disposal that mm-hmm. aren't necessarily being maximized or even recognized.
I think it takes having leaders in place who are willing to say yes instead of no to everything. And that.
Now, are those elected leaders or appointed leaders?
Those would be both.
KINS, News and Information, 841. Didn't even skip a beat. I'm disappointed in myself. We'll be back.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. Lots of different challenges that are out there, Estelle. As we were talking a little bit about economic challenges and development and some of the impediments that are in place, property rights, property, are often overlooked, I think.
Yeah.
That might be a safe way to say it. Is the county formally starting to recognize some of the challenges that, you know, in other areas you might be able to have a lot of houses? But here, either it's in public ownership or it's kind of more vertical. We don't have a lot of flat planes mm-hmm. that haven't been jumped on already. To do some of those types of things, recognizing what is, and then trying to tailor it, whatever the it is, to real life application?
Well, on the property rights issue, one of the things I'm dealing with right now is a bunch of people who own property along the railroad. And there's a bill in front of the legislature from Senator McGuire that would be a trail that goes through a lot of that private property. We've been meeting with ranchers.
Is this like egress and eminent domain kind of things?
Well, they're saying they're not going to do eminent domain, but there is a big question as to what kind of impact a trail would have over rail, you know, having people walk through your land, going by.
I'm thinking of liability and exposure
exactly.
and insurance and
all
things like that.
All of those things. And, you know, a lot of times when you look at these trails, like the Appalachian Trail or whatever, a lot of that goes through public lands. Now, up here, you rightly pointed out that we have quite a, yes, we have a lot of public lands, but we got quite a bit of private lands, too. A lot of private landowners along that
railroad. All the ranches.
Yeah. And they, I mean, I know one rancher who's got 14 miles of the rail on her property. That's significant.
You can't just throw a fence on that, or
no, you can't just exactly. So, how do you manage that, and what do you take into consideration when you're making those plans? And one, those are the kind of talks we're having now in terms of you know, meeting the dream of some to have a trail, and then the dream of others to have a slice of heaven up in the mountains where they can have their family.
Or the nightmare of somebody walking on the trail, slipping and falling.
That is one of the things it is. Yeah, you know, what if somebody comes up, you know, between mile 1 and mile 15, and they've, I don't know, fallen, or they're lost, or they, you know, all of these things, you're going to wind up. How do you handle that? How
There are ripples on these mm-hmm. things.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Are
so,
tough.
So that those that's a big issue that's going to be coming up, and we're going to look. We're looking at it right now.
Now, with those property owners that do have the rail line through their property
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
certainly they got the property after the rail line was there,
mm-hmm.
so it might be a little bit of the airport and the noise factor. You know, complaining about the noise, but
a lot of them aren't
actually.
A lot of the people we're talking about have had these ranches even before the rail went in, you know.
So in the 1880s,
1890s. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Old family ranches. And then, of course, there are a lot of younger owners. But the bottom line is they inherited the rights that came with that and also the privileges, if you will. So they, but the rights are what we're talking about.
What happens in the Midwest where there are rail lines also?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a special class for protection for the landowner? Is there, they still got the choo-choos running as well as people trying to walk, or maybe they don't have the trails if the rails are running.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole crux of the matter. You know, it's like if you, we're lobbying at the NCRA, we're lobbying, we've made it our strategy to go with the rails with trails model. If you are going to put a trail in, keep the rail as well. There's a significant push to just have it.
Is that what McGuire's bill says?
No, we're working on that. It can be changed, and we're working on it. Yeah. But right now, he would prefer for it to just be trail.
Why?
And he's working on that with several of us. And you'll be hearing more about that.
Oh, I sense that we probably will.
You probably
will. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.